for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Friday morning, November the 24th, 2006. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on A Bitter Root of Judgment.
All right, Jerry, would you come on? Come on up. This is Sister Jerry McGee from Lindale, Texas, Abiding Life Ministry. And Jerry preaches the Word of God.
Thank you.
Which
so
does
much.
Not lie. Does
and it,
it
isn't worth it if it isn't a word, is it? Anyway, it's like the Three Stooges, but I'm not gonna curse myself. And how about Carla, the way she's making an entrance into this place? She's up to her tricks again. Carla is a godly, godly woman. I love to hear her teach because she comes off with some of the most awesome revelation. So, Lord, we just praise you and bless you, God. You are such an awesome God. What a mighty God you are. What a holy God you are. Lord, your name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, we ask you to come as the Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven. Father, we thank you that you're El Roy, the God who sees and cares. You're Jehovah Shammah, you're here. God, we thank you that you're El Shaddai, the many-breasted, nurturing God. God, we praise you and bless you that you're Jehovah Rapha. Praise you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. Praise you that your word will not return, turn void. Praise you, God. The leaf will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, we praise you that you have set us apart for yourself. God, we want to please you today. We just proclaim over this meeting, Lord, ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand so that we can turn and be healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within us. Bless your holy name. Lord, we forget none of your benefits. You pardon our iniquities, and you heal all of our diseases, and you redeem our soul from the pit, and you crown our lives with loving kindness and truth. You renew our youth as that of the eagle. We bless you, Lord. We thank you that you do preserve those that has a purpose in yourself, Lord. We thank you for your preservation. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places. And we take the keys that you, Lord, have given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places. And on this earth, we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, this camp, anyone in this camp, our lives and the things that concern us in Jesus' name. We command you, get your hands off of everything that concerns us in the name of Jesus. We nullify, make void, cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, and ritual that's been spoken over us and the things that concern us in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we have what we say, and we say to every mountain that has been blocking us, hindering us, move in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. Wonderful, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What I want to share this morning is a message on bitterroot judgments. A bitterroot judgment is a judgment you make that you do not take to the cross. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not lest you be judged. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you, for in the way you judge, you will be judged." Whenever you and I make a judgment that we don't bring to the cross, we set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind the very same thing that we judge. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned." Hallelujah. A bitterroot judgment is the driving force behind recurring problems, of patterns, of trouble and our destruction in our lives. You know, from the time you were born, there were things that were planted inside of you. Even in the womb, you inherited the generational iniquities of the forefathers. You inherited what they had sown. And even in the womb, you began to reap things that were sown in the generations. And from the time you were born, you began to plant and sow things, good things and bad things. Things that didn't line up with the Word of God, you're reaping right now. You're reaping in your marriages. If you're married, you're reaping them in your work. If you have a job, you're reaping them in your children, if you have children. Recently, the Lord showed me, and I thank God for godly children. I have godly children, godly grandchildren. I am so thankful. My youngest son did not live a godly life. He lived a homosexual lifestyle, and he died of AIDS in 1989. He would have been 42 years old had he lived. He lived an evil lifestyle in bondage to homosexual sin. And so, but the children that I have now are godly children. They live godly lives. But you know, in every life, lives are not perfect because we're human. As I look at the things that might trouble me in my children's life, or that do trouble me, thank God it's nothing real serious, but I see that the things that I see that trouble me in their lives are things that I did, are things that I judged. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, and that you will live a long life and life will go well." So in every area that you can honor your mother and father, life goes well for you. And in every area that you could not honor your mother and father, life is not going well for you right now. Now, honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to carry them around on a pedestal. It doesn't mean you have to buy their alcohol or support them in a demonic lifestyle. But it means you forgive them by sundown, you honor their position, and you always see that they have a roof over their head and that they have food. Because God wants you to take care of your parents. He does not want you to enable them in their sin if they're living a sinful lifestyle. But honor means that you forgive them by sundown. And when you and I make a judgment on our parent and we don't take it to the cross, we let the sun go down on it, we turn to an Nehushtan or turn to a false god. Would you agree that when you, if you don't go to God in your pain, you turn to something else? Is that correct? And so God gives us till sundown to get over our sin and to get over our anger. Ephesians 4 says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger, because you give a mighty foothold to the devil." So you have till sundown to deal with it. And so when you let the sun go down on it, if you don't go to God with it, you turn to a promise you make yourself. And that promise is a judgment that's not brought to the cross, and it's a false god. For example, when I grow up, life's going to be different. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who'll talk to me if mom and dad didn't talk to me. Or if mom and dad didn't spend time with me. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that'll spend time with me. Or when I grow up, I'm going to find someone who won't reject me, won't abandon me. And those judgments and the vows we turn to work like a train track. You may have a good engine that wants to go a different direction, but you'll go the way of the vow. And that vow is a false god. That's a Nehushtan in your life. And that was so anointed last night. God showed me a few Nehushtans. And I thank God for His grace that when He shows me my sin, I want to let go of it. It's miserable when you don't. And so those false gods are those judgments that are not resolved or not dealt with at the cross, set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind what we've sown. Now, when we judge our mother and father, We are drawn to people, and people are drawn to us that are best able to fulfill our reaping process. So we marry people, if we get married, we marry people that are best able to fulfill our reaping process. And so the judgments we make on our parents set in motion forces that cause us to either marry someone like our mother and father, or will be like our mother and father. But the things that you sow in your lifetime, the negative things, even before you became a Christian, are reaping out now in your children and in your relationships. I was at a meeting and a lady said to me, "Pray for my daughter," said, "she's a Christian and she's fixing to marry a Hindu." And I said, "Well, have you ever done anything like that?" And she went, "No." "Oh my goodness," she said. "When I went to the University of Mexico," she said, "and I was in love with a bullfighter and I was getting ready to marry this bullfighter and chunk America and chunk my mother and father." Well, the lady repented. And I had promised her that I would put her on my prayer list, on the intercessor list. And I got home, but I forgot her daughter's name. So I called the hostess of the seminar and I said, What was this lady's daughter's name?" And she said, "You don't have to pray for her," said, "the daughter's already repented." You see, what the mother did to her mother and father set in motion forces that was setting her up for her daughter to do the same thing. Some of you who have children who treat you terrible, you need to ask the Lord, did I treat my mother and father the same way I'm being treated? Because the world says what goes around comes around. God calls it the law of sowing and reaping. I had another man call me from Pennsylvania. He said, "My daughter, she's lazy, she lies, she won't work, she's on drugs, she steals, and she's pregnant out of wedlock." And I said, "Did you ever do anything like that?" And he went, "Oh my goodness, she's just like me." And she was, conceived illegitimately. And so, those of you who have children that you're wanting to change, everything that you don't like about them is mirroring what you did before you became a Christian. You say, "Well, I never did anything like that, but my husband did, or my wife did." Well, you judged your husband or wife. I prayed for 27 years, I prayed for my husband to change. And naturally, I didn't need to change, right? No. And I had a living Bible that I made a prayer Bible, and I prayed every verse in that Bible for my husband, for my children, for my descendants. No change. You know why it didn't change? Because I needed to get the log out of my own eye. If you've got logs in your eyes, do not expect the specks to come out. If you've made a judgment, or have sown something and you are seeing it in your children, or you're seeing it in your mate, or you're seeing it in your boss, or you're seeing it in relationships, you can pray for the next 90 years and nothing's going to change because of the law of sowing and reaping. You plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn, you get bunches of ears of corn, you get hundreds of kernels of corn, you get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, and later than you plant. By your standard, Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not lest you be judged. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you." Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. Not only was that a command that we treat others the way we want to be treated, but Jesus was saying the way you treat others is how you're going to be treated. So when I go through a problem, I say, "Okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? Did I do it? Have I done this? Have I judged it? Have I treated other people the way I'm being treated?" You know, I know people that are always saying, "So-and-so was so rude to me. So-and-so said this to me. So-and-so said that to me." And you know what? It's because they've treated each other, other people, rude and mean and ugly. And they're just reaping it back. It's time we take accountability for what we do and quit trying to blame everyone else. So if you have children that are wayward, if you have a husband that's wayward, if you have a wife that's wayward, start dealing with your own issues. My husband didn't change till right at the last, and it was because I had judged him in so many areas that I had locked him in a prison. John 20:23 says, "Whoever sins you retain or retain, whosoever sins you remit or remit it." And so when you make a judgment on someone you live with, or your children, or anyone for that matter, you lock them in a prison concerning you. So if you've got children that are wayward, start repenting over the things that you see in their life that you don't like, and you'll see a change. And if you've not done those things, forgive their daddy or forgive their mother or forgive the grandparents for doing those things, because we're reaping things that have been sown in our heart. And from the time you were in the womb and from the time you were born, there were things being deposited in you that are coming up, things you've done. Proverbs says, he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Luke 6:37 says that if we pardon, we'll be pardoned. If we judge, we'll be judged. And if we condemn, we'll be condemned. A bitter judgment is the driving force behind recurring problems, patterns of trouble, and our destruction in our lives. Bitter roots bring about bitter fruit. Jesus said you'll know what kind of tree it is by the kind of fruit it bears. Now, in John 7:24, Jesus said, do not judge by according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Well, if he's telling you to judge now with righteous judgment, or judge a tree by the kind of fruit it bears, and then he's saying, judge not lest you be judged, what's the difference? One's a righteous judgment and one is an unrighteous judgment. God wants you to discern and see things about people's lives and about your life. If you see something about someone else's life, ask the Lord to show you if that's in your life. Because people mirror what God's trying to change in me and you. Amen? I'm telling you, since God taught me this principle, I live a very peaceful life. In relationships, you know, there was a time my granddaughter, I prayed for her for 35 years before she was even born, and she's 20 years old now. And I'm seeing the fruit of many, many years of prayers. I see a heart for the Lord. But until she was 12 years old, she was always in my lap. And then when she got in high school, after her mother quit homeschooling her, she hardly gave me the time of day for about 3 or 4 years. And that just broke my heart. And I'd get down on my face and say, God, I want my Kylie back. And I'd cry out to the Lord. I didn't tell Kylie she was hurting my feelings. I didn't act like a bitter old grandmother. I kept loving and blessing. But God kept showing me things about my life, how I treated my grandmother, how I treated my own mother. Began to show me things about my life. And as I began to repent of the things in my life, I was breaking them free in the spirit. You see, you're reaping, what you've sown has got people in your life bound to a reaping pattern. And you know, you can try to bust out and go someplace else and get another mate or get another set of circumstances, but wherever you go, you got to take yourself. Your reaping will follow you wherever you go. And I don't care, you know, God has used my problems to make me a person of prayer. And being a person of prayer, but I prayed for 27 years and there was never any change because I had a reaping going here. And so if you want to cancel the negative in the people you love, then deal with the logs in your own eyes. Good roots bring about good fruit, and it brings out the best of others and blessings in other people's lives. A righteous judgment and an unrighteous judgment is a righteous judgment is you see something, you take it to the Lord, you deal with your own stuff. You ask God what He's trying to show you, if there's something related to you. You deal with it. Then you have a heart to say, you know, brother or sister, you know, I see a speck in your eye. Can I help you get it out? A righteous judgment is you're a tree. The Bible says you're a tree. Psalms 1 says you're trees. There's another place that says the trees of the field clap their hands. And so you're a tree, and so a righteous judgment would be deal with your own stuff and say, hey, brother or sister, I see this. Let me dig around your tree and let me fertilize it and let me water you. Let me help you. Let me prop you up till you grow up. An unrighteous judgment is I see this about you, get you or get out of here or whatever. You know, even when you walk through the grocery store, sometimes you might see somebody that weighs 600 pounds or somebody that's crippled, and you know, you might think, oh, you know, poor thing or whatever, or you just kind of stuff it. You know, that's a judgment. You either take what you see to God and let God use it for good, or you stuff what you see, or you deal with it. You don't deal with what you see, and that's an automatic judgment. Since God's shown me this, I go through the grocery store or wherever I am, and I see something pitiful or something, I say, oh God, help that person. Oh God, I pray you help that person. Have mercy, rather than, ooh, I hope I'm never like that. You see the difference? Using what you see for evil versus using what you see for good. A critical heart is a misguided gift of discernment. James 2:13 says, judgment is merciless to him who has shown no mercy. Bitterroot judgments are perhaps the most powerful negative force in our lives, bringing about destruction in our lives. And they're the most common basic sin in all marital relationships. Perhaps in all of life. It works really in relationships, period. Because of the law of sowing and reaping. Many times what you can't stand about your mate when you get married, 99% of the time you're living with your mother or dad. It's unresolved childhood issues. And so our children, the sins of the fathers pass on, the iniquities of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. Many times you can see, just being around little kids, you can see what's working in mom and dad. I appreciate Dr. Null's teaching on children. Children are just mirroring what's working in mom and dad. Mom and dad are hiding it, but the kids aren't. And when a parent does not train up a child in the way he should go, he provokes him to anger. The scripture says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so if a child's not brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, he is provoked to anger in these areas. And these areas where he's provoked to anger becomes a nehushtan, becomes a place of anger, a place of depression, a place of discouragement, a place where I turn to a false god instead of God. You say, well, you know, I don't worship Buddha. You know what our false gods is? You've got to love me. You've got to talk to me. You can't reject me. You've got to value me. You've got to see how wonderful I am. You've got to spend time with me. You've got to affirm me. You've got to notice me. Many, many people, you know, can have an attention-getting spirit to where they almost are bragging about their sin to get you to pay attention to them. And, you know, somebody that has an attention-getting spirit, you know, they'll just be open and say something in the open, and then you, because you want to be honest, you answer honestly, and then you wound them, but they're right up in your face wanting to know something, and you don't want to lie. God says no liar will enter the kingdom of heaven. You don't want to be rude, but it's almost like you get forced to be. Because I'm like Brother said last night, I believe that if you don't speak the truth to people, you don't help them. And you might as well quit the ministry if you're not going to say what God says. Proverbs 11:18 says, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. I heard a man say on television, and I don't agree with his doctrine, but this, what he said, when he said this, was true. He said, if you don't like your crop, change the seeds you're planting. Amen? Well, every time you pull up a bad seed, guess what? A good one. God plants a good one in its place. Hallelujah. And he changes your negative reaping to positive. I've seen God, when I shared about my granddaughter, you know, I've always called my grandchildren, how's my granddaughter? How's my grandson? And they never said that back to me. But after years of repenting, my granddaughters will email me from college, grandmother! So you have to deal with your logs if you want your specks to be gone. The law of judgment not only applies to our conscious actions, but to our unconscious actions. Not only does it apply to our conscious actions that we know and perform outwardly, but it also applies to what's been lodged in our heart, what's been repressed, unknown, and expressed. And then God lets these turkeys in our face trigger, lest our roosters crow. You know, Peter didn't remember what Jesus said till the rooster crowed, right? So we have stuff down there, and there's people that God allows in our life that causes our roosters to crow. And we need to go back and remember what's been deposited back there and deal with it God's way. And then it changes, the reaping changes from negative to positive. Hallelujah. And if you want to, whenever you deal with your reaping stuff, you can expect your reaping to change. Whenever you deal with your sin, you can expect a different crop. Glory to God. You know, the law of sowing and reaping says if what goes up, well, not the law of sin, but the law of gravity, if you put something up, it goes down. There's a law of physics that says for every action, there has to be an equal and opposite reaction. There's a law of chemistry that says every equation has to balance. There's a law of aerodynamics that when a plane leaves the law of gravity, and when it does, it sounds like every screw is going to fly out because the gravity is pulling it. And then when it gets to a certain height, the law of aerodynamics brings the plane upward. And that's the law of aerodynamics. And there's a law of sowing and reaping. And so whatever is sown, we're going to reap it. Not only, it also, since the law of God is written on our heart, according to Romans 1, it can also apply to whenever a parent violates the Word of God in our lives. I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, I had 4 spankings and I should have had more. God's had to take up where my mother and daddy left off. And I thank God for His discipline. My daddy could just tell me something, even at 92, and I listened. The 4 spankings he gave me got my attention to where I never want to disobey him. I still wanting to please him. And he's 92. But the last spanking I had, I sassed my daddy and so he came out of the bathroom and he asked me to get him something while he was in the bathroom. And I sassed him and said, "Oh mother, why does he expect me to have to do everything for him? Dishonoring my father." Anyway, he came out of there and he was going to spank me till I told him what I said. And I wasn't going to tell him. And he spanked me and spanked me and spanked me. And my mother said, "Oh, Lord, you're going to kill her. Oh, stop spanking her." I was such a brat that I cried till he apologized. I was getting tired of crying, so I was going, "Ah!" I apologized to him for that about 2 or 3 years ago. And he said, "Well, forgive me for apologizing." But you see, the law of God was written on my heart. I never thought about that. I loved it that my mother bailed me out. She always bailed me out. I never thought about it anymore. Till I had this little granddaughter I'd been praying for at the time of 15 years when she was conceived. And so here she's 3 years old and now you expect an angel after been praying for her for 15 years, right? She was being a brat. And my son went to spank her. And when he went to spank her, my daughter-in-law stopped him. Oh, it just crushed my heart because, you see, there was guilt down in my own heart. If something's raining on your parade, can I tell you there's something down there God's wanting you to see? Amen? You know you have a log when there's specks getting on your nerves, right? And I said, "Lord, what are you trying to show me?" And the Lord showed me. That's exactly what my mother did. And after I took accountability for that and took it to the cross, I never again saw my daughter-in-law ever do that again. But you see, God was trying to get something down in me. Now, so that applied because my mother violated the law of God, and the law of God was written on my heart. I loved being bailed out. But if you'd have asked me at the time, and I'd never thought about it, was that right? I'd have said, "No, that wasn't right. She shouldn't have done that." So whatever happens in your life, it's rooted someplace. The power of bitter root judgments comes from the unchangeable laws of God, which causes us to reap in kind what we've sown. Once farmed, judgments must bring results. Bitter roots not brought to the cross defile many and set in motion a reaping process. You see, in a church, when there's a person that is bitter, they can defile many. It's kind of like defile means if you have a basket of white towels or white laundry and you throw a black sock in there, it sullies, contaminates the whole thing. God says, "See to it no root of bitterness taking you over defiles many." And so a bitter root judgment is your own sin. It's not what people have done to you. They're responsible for what they've done to you in their own set of reaping circumstances. But a bitter root judgment is your sinful reaction to hurt and not responding by taking that to God and forgiving them by sundown. They're operations of the unchangeable laws of God, which causes you to reap what's sown. It's your refusal or inability to forgive other people. They have the power to defile many. And someone has said that bitterness is like poison, drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. Bitter roots are not the hurtful and terrible things that have happened to us, nor are they the sins of those who've wronged us. They're our own sins because we've not taken it to the cross and we've let the sun go down on it, as God tells us that we cannot do. They're not powerful enough to overcome the free will of another, though they do defile. Bitter roots infect the minds with expectations. An expectation is a psychological practice in your nature whereby you push that other person to do that bad thing that fulfills your picture of the way life goes. For example, if you grow up and nobody loves you, your mother and dad, if your mother and daddy love you, then the rest of the world, you know, my mom and dad love me. They were not perfect people, but somebody can come up to me and tell me that they hate my guts and it does not hurt my feelings because my mom and dad love me. Does that make sense? If your mom and dad don't love you, I don't care who tells you they love you, you'll never believe it till God does a healing work down in your heart. But if my mom and dad don't love me, then my head says, when I grow up, I'm going to find someone who loves me. And so I marry this perfect person that I think they just adore me till I marry them. And all of a sudden, you tricked me. You don't love me. It's like this expectation. If you're trained up to not be loved, you don't expect that anybody's going to love you. Your heart says, oh, yeah, they're like mom and dad. Your head says, I'm going to find that person. And sometimes people are married five times. And the hammer keeps getting bigger. I don't know what Irma Bombeck taught, but I read one thing she wrote once that I agreed with. The grass is greener over the septic tank. Don't think, if you can't work it out where you're at, you might as well learn to overcome, because the promises to the Christian life are to the overcomer. That's why so many marriages don't work, because after the honeymoon's over, all of a sudden, because I expect to be rejected, I draw you unconsciously to reject me. Because I expect you're not going to talk to me because mom and dad didn't talk to me. This psychological practice in my nature pulls you to do that bad thing that fulfills my picture of the way life goes. And you're still accountable. I mean, the other person is still accountable for the way they treat you. An expectancy is women are always controlling. I had a couple come up to me at a seminar and the woman drug him up. And I said, well, what is it you don't like about your wife? And he said, she's controlling. And I said, well, was your mother or daddy controlling? He went, yeah. And then I asked her, I said, what is it you can't stand about your husband? She said, well, he lies and he's not disciplined. He's irresponsible. I said, well, did your daddy or mother lie? Were they irresponsible? She went, yeah. They walked off holding hands. Those of you who are married, it's no use telling the turkey you live with what they need to do to make you happy, because they don't hear it, right? How do I know? Because I tried it. But if you go back and say, now what is it I don't like about this woman, or what is it about this man that's bothering me, and see if you can't trace the fruit back to the root of making a judgment on your mother or father. So that's why marriages don't work. I used to get so upset with my husband because I wanted him to go to a marriage counselor with me. I wanted him to go to marriage enrichment seminars, and he'd say to me, I already know more than I can't do right now. Now I see why. That isn't going to do you, because you say, what you learn is husbands love your wife like Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You already know all of that. Most of you do. You've got to go back and say, this woman is controlling. Have I been controlling? Has my mom and dad been controlling? And the minute you forgive, the issue's over. The heart is healed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Or women are always controlling, or men can't be depended on, or no one ever listens to me. You see, how you're trained up sets the default of your life. How many of you know about a default on a computer? Computers are set at the factory to do certain things. One thing it said is a certain letter style. You can type a letter using over 300 different letter styles, but the minute you do another letter, get out of that program, the computer kicks it back to the way it was set at the factory. The way you were set at the factory, I mean, how you were trained up was how you and I were set at the factory. If this thing is always happening to you, and you're always saying, this is always happening to me, can I say, well, that happened down there, didn't it? You were trained up. It sets a default, and we keep trying to break out of that default, and we keep getting kicked back to the way we were raised. But glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, what changes that is when you go back and you deal with your mother, daddy, unresolved issues, and then God resets your default. Hallelujah. Because I deal, if something bothers me about my daughter-in-law, you know what God says to me most of the time? You did it. You taught your daughter how to treat men by the way you acted. And it takes a lot of, it takes the bitterness out of your own life instead of being mad at her. It grieves my heart some of the things that I have done that I, caused to set in motion forces that are causing me to reap. But I'm, now that I've got onto this, I'm canceling my reaping through repentance. God showed me some things the other morning when He gave me this principle about the things that bother you about your children. God showed me some things of judgments I made on my husband, and I repented for over an hour. I've written down 2 pages of stuff to repent over, and I got tremendous deliverance. You know, repentance is not taught today in the church. It is so sad. That's why I love to come to Lake Hamilton, because the word that goes forth from this place is a pure word. It's a life-changing word. But you don't hear about repentance for the most part. And it's grievous because most people in the church today don't even have a clue that they need deliverance, because the pastor says go to a psychiatrist. And then they dope them up with all kinds of psychiatric medicine, and then a lot of them kill themselves or kill their children or whatever. So doctrines of demons. In the last days, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Now I want to read something to you as an example of an expectancy. A man's brought up by a critical mother, feeling wounded and rejected. He learns to protect his heart by withdrawing from her. His experiences with mother form the picture of women. When he marries, he fears pain of vulnerability and consciously or unconsciously projects his expectations onto his wife, holding her at a distance. She is lonely and appeals to him to share with her. He interprets this as criticism, whether it is or not, and pulls further away. He criticizes her attempts to break through the walls of his heart. When she becomes a critical woman, he doesn't see his part in pushing her to fulfill his expectation of how life will go. Consider a similar scene. Add to the man's bitter expectancy to be criticized the fact that in earliest childhood he made a powerful condemning judgment against his mother. He soon forgets the judgment, but it has been sown as a seed with the power to defile, which will affect him. He will reap through his wife and other women what he experienced with his mother. Because of the forgotten nature of the sowing, the reaping may come as a surprise to him. Many times marriages don't work. They go out and try to find someone else, and they get in the same situation. I want to overcome, don't you? Now, y'all are going to get mad at me probably, or think I'm being mean, but my husband said to me once after we'd been married 25 years, he died in 1997. Sometimes I think living with me, maybe I'm the one that killed him. I'm saying, Lord, did I kill this man? Anyway, God says I didn't. You know, we are responsible for our own choices. But we still have to take accountability for our sin. Sometimes I say, Lord, would you please forgive Bob that I didn't have the insight that I have now in some areas? Would you please ask him to, did I say forgive Bob? Would you please ask Bob to forgive me, Lord? And then God can ask him, or he didn't have to ask him, but it takes, as I tell God, I'm sorry, it clears my own heart. And one day he said to me, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. He said, his eyes got big, he said, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got all the material for this seminar? But not just the living with him. You know, living in a bad marriage, you know, one day I went to God. I said, Lord, my husband has told me so many times that I don't love him. Maybe he's right. Maybe I don't love him. God, fill my heart with your love. So not only was it his stuff, but me having to go to God and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Nothing. Just forgive, love, forgive, and I don't need your help. And I would marry him all over again because I feel like the Lord sent him. Maybe he was for my purification, and I'm still not pure. God uses the turkeys in your face to purify your life. Without sanctification, New American Standard says, without sanctification, no man will see God. I like what the King James says, without holiness, no man will see God. Do you have to turn the potter's wheel to be holy? No, you yield to God and He makes you holy. He does the holy work in your life. You can't make yourself be holy. You can't put yourself on the, you can't turn the potter's wheel and expect to be holy. That's self-righteousness. But as you yield to God and use faith purifies your soul, as you keep yielding to God, He keeps perfecting you, taking out the trash, taking out the junk. And that is encouraging to me. When we transgress the laws of God, then we reap these things. Hosea 10:12 says, sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He comes to rain righteousness on you. So God is saying, through repentance, break up that ground and sow with a view to righteousness. In other words, plant good things in your life and plow up the bad things through repentance. In that same passage, just before, I think it's in verse 11, God says, Judah plows, Jacob harrows, but Ephraim treads. That's what the New American Standard says. And the word tread in the Hebrew means Ephraim likes to get his heart, harden his heart. You see, when you go through a trial, if you don't deal with it God's way, you harden your heart. Today, when you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. When you submit to God, you're delighting in Him, because the word delight means make your heart soft, tender, and pliable. So every time I say, yes, Lord, I'm making my heart soft, tender, and pliable. Well, Judah plows through praise. Jacob harrows. He breaks up the clods, but it says Ephraim, which is another word for Israel, God's people, he likes to tramp his garden harder through hardening your heart. You say, yes, Lord, or you harden your heart. In our sinful responses to wounding, we begin to develop patterns of behavior that cause us to reap in adult the very thing we hate. We sow and reap in kind, we judge and then we do the same. We honor and dishonor. In fact, Romans 2:1 says you become like who you judge. That's a sobering thought. The pain we reap often seems out of proportion to the harm we've done, but the Scripture clearly states the principle of increase. Discernment of all problems is found upon the laws of God in the Word of God. Honoring and dishonoring your parents, Deuteronomy 5:16. Judging and receiving, Matthew 7:12. I'm sorry, 7, 1 and 2. Sowing and reaping, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he reap. They use this in, you know, giving financially, which it applies to giving. It applies to, if you give love, you're going to get love. You get hate, you're going to get hate. You give rudeness, you're going to get rudeness. You're going to get treated rudely. And doing the same thing we judge others for, Romans 2:1. In Luke 6, Jesus spoke to the disciples. If you want to turn to Luke 6:42, He says, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. Bad fruit comes from the roots in verse 43. Verse 45, what a person expresses comes from the treasure that's in his heart. What's in his heart? Luke 6:45. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Luke 6:46. 6:48 says, dig deep and lay your foundations upon the rock. The rock's Jesus. Many people, after they marry, after a while, they think they made a mistake, but God did not design our mates to make us comfortable. He designed them to be that that beloved person that is going to grind us. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. As we take our judgments and our sins to the cross, we can enter into blessed relationship with our mates and with others. We'll see the reaping change. We'll see people in our relationships change. We'll see our children change. We'll change. You know, if a person knows the size and weight, and I hope this thing works, y'all excuse me with this. I just now got it, and I'm not that skilled in it. Well, see, it's not even working. I think this thing may be too far away. I don't know. Well, let me get my notes over here, and I'll just go over and do it manually. If a person knows the size and the weight of the ball, and that's a picture of a person making a judgment, and then you see 25 years later, you see how big the judgment gets. And then if this person repents, put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus there, then it stops. And see, if a person knows the size and weight of the ball and my hurling power and with what momentum I'm throwing it, he can determine, I think a physicist or a chemist could determine with what momentum that ball comes back. And just picture when two people get married, say Bill and Sue, they both have things that bring blessings to the other person. They both have expectations of how they grew up, of how life's going to go. They both have made judgments that they're due to reap. Well, I think the answer to this, the battery's not working, I guess. But you see the thing between them, that's where that expectation pulls that other person to do that bad thing that fulfills their picture of how life goes. The circle or the arc with the arrow, it has to do with what's been sown. And then this coming down is generational iniquities of the forefathers. And how a person can change is when Bill says, Lord, I can't stand this about her, Sue. And then he deals with it, breaks the expectation, and then God makes it a blessed thing. And it's a process. Sanctification is a process. And then if you deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers and the things that have been sown in our lives and deal with the expectations, then God does a healing work in a person's life. Now, when two people get married, they balance one another because you're drawn to people and people are drawn to you that are best able to fulfill your reaping process. Now, if both people deal with their issues, their marriage will stay balanced. But if one person deals with it and the other one doesn't, then either the one on the top, either they'll bail out or they'll repent, or God will just take them out because they don't fit anymore. So why don't you stand up? And I want you to think about it. If you're married, I want you to think about everything you don't like about your mate. If you have an ex-mate, you could still go there. Probably they were like your daddy or mother. Look at your children's lives. Is there anything in your children's lives that you don't like, that you want changed? And I want you to ask the Lord to show you, have you judged your mother and father for these things? Or have you done the very same thing that your children are doing? So pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. I give you my will, Lord Jesus, that your will might prevail. Father, I ask for the truth that sets me free. How are the problems I'm having in my life? Will you please show me the roots to it and every unresolved childhood issue? I want to say this. God doesn't show you everything at one time. You'd pass out. Right? But sanctification is a process. And God's taught me to go with the problem. Whatever my problem is, I'm saying, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this problem? Amen? And when you deal with it, then you've got the log out of your eye, and you're going to change for sure. They may change. Usually they will. Or if they don't change, your perception of them will change. And if, or you could care less if they change. You see, if you've got guilt down in your own conscience, then other people are going to be triggering you. That's what psychology calls a trigger. Pushing your button, letting your rooster crow, whatever. God says that if your conscience is clear, you have confidence in God, faith and trust in God. So whenever you don't have a clear conscience, people will get on your last nerve because God's trying to get your conscience clear. So Lord, in Jesus' name, what is it I don't like about my mate, my ex-mates? What I don't like about my children? What I don't like about my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren? God, what are you trying to show me? I thank you for the truth that sets me free. And I just pronounce over this meeting, the truth will set them free in Jesus' name. Spirit, I just release you, Lord. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'll come down and just reveal yourself to your children in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And then deal with whatever the Lord shows you. And then if you'll sit down, then we'll do group deliverance. You don't have to sit down until you're through repenting. If you don't have a problem, then go ahead and sit down. I mean, you can sit down if you want to, or you can deal with your problems. Or you can sit down and deal with your problems, whatever you choose to do. So, God, I want to be free. I want my reaping to change because I want to change, Lord. And if you haven't done it, forgive your children's daddy, or forgive grandparents. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. Pray with me. Forgive me for judging my mother and father. Letting the sun go down on my anger. Not honoring my mother and father through forgiving them. Forgive me for turning to false gods instead of turning to you. Lord, I turn to you now. And I ask you to forgive me for making judgments and reacting wrongly to the hurts that have been inflicted upon me. Forgive me for being angry, hurt, and bitter. You know, I want to say this. If you've got any area where you're hurt, you turn to a false god. And if the person in the present, for example, say, if you say, I forgive this person, and it doesn't go away, it's a heart issue. It's a mother and daddy issue. There are other times when you forgive people and it goes away instantly, right? Or somebody will say to you, you know, forgive me for what I did 3 days ago. Say, well, what did you do? I don't remember. See, it's not a heart issue. But if you say the words, I forgive them, and it doesn't go away, it's a heart issue. And so when you deal with the heart of the issue, then you can forgive the turkey in the present. But it goes back to mom and dad. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive all the people that have hurt me. And forgive me for turning to false gods. And the hurt is proven that the false god is there. So Lord, I turn to you because you're the healer. I turn from my idols to you, Lord. Lord, I break the judgments I made on my mother and father that have set in motion forces that have caused me to be drawn to people and people be drawn to me that are best able to fulfill my reaping process. So I break those judgments. I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and those judgments. And Lord, I ask you to break that default that was set by being trained up not according to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I forgive my parents for not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, the scripture says that you're to use a rod on your children, because if you beat them, they won't die, because the rod will drive evil from their heart. Dr. Noel was sharing about children. If a parent, you know, you can't get a child delivered if the parent's not going to discipline them and correct them. That's the root of bipolar and all kinds of mental problems, is the lack of discipline. So, Lord, I forgive my parents for the lack of discipline. Nurture, protection, love and care, provision, fellowship, affirmation. I forgive them for molesting me if they did. I forgive them for not protecting me. And I forgive them for provoking me to anger through not bringing me up in the discipline instruction of the Lord. Now, Lord, I'm seeing some things in my children that I don't like, and in their marriages. Forgive me for doing the very same things that I see them do. Forgive me for teaching them how to act in a negative way by my example. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for judging their daddy and my parents and my forefathers for doing the same thing. I break those judgments. I renounce the lie that you, God, and all authority is just like my mom and dad. In Jesus' name. I break soul ties with my mother and father and every person concerned. I sever every cord of control linking their souls to mine. I call back anything of mine that got on them. And I send back everything of theirs that got on me that doesn't line up with the Word of God. I've been hurt, bitter, angry, full of hate, wounded because of my false God. I've been depressed and discouraged because of all of my nehushtans. God, I just ask you to forgive me. And I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers that's causing me to reap what my forefathers sowed. I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus. Now I say be healed in Jesus' name. I command all wounded spirits to go, all hurt, bitterness, resentment, anger, broken heart, unrest, fear, terror, woundedness. Go now. All pain and grief and sadness and sorrow, go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Lord, I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil. And I thank you that the minute they repent, the minute they forgive, healing comes. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that in the Spirit they broke loose a lot of people today in Jesus' name. Not only set their self free, but they set others free. Praise you, Lord. Praise you for this process of healing, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, when you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Praise you, Lord. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. bless you, God. We bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. And that's the way to live, okay? Not just a one-time seminar meeting. That's a principle to live by. How many of you got felt freedom then? Put your hand up. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much. Oh, I got to pray for the meal. Lord, we thank you for this food. We thank you that we live in America. We thank you that food is plentiful. God, forgive us for taking lightly what all you do for us. We just ask you to bless this food. We ask you to purify it, sanctify it. We ask you to bless Tammy and every person that helps, every person at this camp. Father, I just pray a blessing upon them. I bless your children with wisdom, understanding. I bless them with counsel, might, understanding, knowledge, discretion, equity, the fear of the Lord. I just bless them with prosperity. I bless them with a prospering soul. And God, we thank you for the food. We ask you to just thank you for it, Lord. Bless our time of fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.